Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today is the commemoration of Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, pastor. Born September 6, 1711, in Enbeck, Germany. And the pastor was called home to glory at the age of 76, on this very date, October 7th, 1787. Muhlenberg was integral to the founding of the first Lutheran church body here in North America. And according to Wikipedia, is considered by many to be the patriarch of the Lutheran church in America. Now, it's been nearly a decade since I sat in the classrooms of our beloved institution to study history at the feet of our internationally recognized faculty. So I checked with one of my former professors last week to find out if we liked this guy. His response, "We like him, but we don't love him." Either way, something I think we can all admire about this colonial pastor was his love for our Lord Jesus Christ and his commitment to turn to him and him alone for mercy and righteousness. While studying at the university, much like Martin Luther, Muhlenberg had an aha moment when he realized that he himself, just like every man, woman, and child in this chapel today, was a poor, miserable sinner who was not capable, because of his flesh, of living a holy and upright Christian life. So Muhlenberg writes, "As I learned to recognize sin as sin, there followed sorrow, repentance, and hatred of it, shame and humiliation on account of it, and hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus Christ." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what about you? Is the old Adam in you alive and active today? What little secrets or sins haunt you from day to day? The list is usually predictable. Your insecurity has turned to arrogance, or your need for recognition has you lying or stretching the truth. You are jealous, so you gossip about your friends and throw bombs in their direction. You are lonely, so you turn to pornography, alcohol, or who knows what. For the Christian, life indeed can be a roller coaster, a ride in search of pleasure, peace, and security. And unfortunately, that ride often leads to doom, gloom, and a lifetime pursuit of the one thing that man is not capable of providing for himself: peace and righteousness. So again, I ask that question: what about you? What dirty little secrets are you dragging along the road of life? What is it that you have placed between God and your peace? For the two blind men in the excerpt we just heard, blindness was the cause of their despair. At the time of this incident, Jesus had already turned his face toward Jerusalem, and the mission for which he was born was quickly progressing toward its culmination. But he wouldn't make that journey alone. No, he would use the trek to preach, teach, and perform many miracles as he prepared his followers for the apostolic age. Over 30 miracles are attributed to our Lord in the New Testament journal of his life. Divine acts done by the power of God Almighty. Jesus proved he was the Christ by calming the storms, feeding the masses, walking on water, bursting the fishermen's nets, withering the fig tree, and turning water into wine, just to mention a few. His mercy journeys included healing those who were dying from leprosy, dropsy, and a cornucopia of fatal diseases. And if that wasn't enough, he would raise people from the dead, restore the sight of the blind, and cast demons into the sea. Now back to the text. As Jesus continued his faithful march to Jerusalem, the place where he would be treated like both king and convict, the place where the price would be paid for all of those dirty little secrets that you have let chip away at your peace, the place where the Christ will be beaten, mocked, spit upon, then brutally nailed to a Roman cross and raised between two criminals, where he was left to die. But before he would die, before he would take the punishment that you and I so deserve, there was still work to be done. The text tells us that Jesus had just left Jericho and that a great crowd was following him or traveling with him along the last 15 miles or so. No doubt they too were going to the holy city to celebrate the Passover. As they walked, two blind men were sitting alongside the roadway. They approached our Lord and cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, Son of David." Son of David. I wonder why they called him that. Could it have been they had faith? Could it have been they knew who he was? Even as the crowd tried to silence these men, their cries for mercy continued. Hearing the voices and seeing their faith, the Christ asked them what they wanted from him. "Our sight," they cried, "let our eyes be opened." Then out of mercy and compassion, our Lord touched them, and with the touch of his hand, their eyes were opened. They saw who this man was, and they followed him, probably to his cross. Matthew records both Christ's compassion and his power to remove the effects of Eden, which is sin, corruption, and eternal death in this fallen world. A miracle indeed. And as with all of his miracles, Jesus gives us a foretaste of the final eternal healing and restoration that will take place at the end of the ages. God created man in his own image, with working parts from head to toe. Yet, it wouldn't take long for all that to change. So with the touch of his hand, Christ fixes what man and nature is unable to fix. St. Jerome put it this way: the Creator supplies what nature has not given, or at least what an infirmity has taken away. Mercy freely gives. So the message in this text is straightforward. The purpose driving Christ's journey is mercy. And because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, he has the ability to make men whole. Yes, indeed, that message is straightforward. Whatever burdens, sins, or sorrows have placed you along the road of life, waiting to be healed, wanting for forgiveness or longing to be made whole, turn to Jesus Christ. Call on his name. Lord, have mercy. Son of David, please touch me. Then trust in his love. Have faith in his power. Know that he has touched you in the holy waters of baptism. Know that he continues to touch you in the words of absolution spoken to you by his under-shepherds here and abroad. Know that his own body and blood touches you, forgives you, and restores your soul in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let me try and close with this thought. It is true. Historians don't all agree if we like or if we love the guy, Pastor Muhlenberg, who has been called the father of American Lutheranism. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if I really care. However, there is one thing we should all agree upon. As we learn to recognize sin as sin, and that sin is followed by sorrow, repentance, and hatred of it, shame and humiliation on account of it, we all need to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name.